All right, good morning again, and wanted to have you take your Bibles and turn to the letter of 1 Peter as we continue to work our way through this wonderful letter. As we had talked about last week, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there are black Bibles around you, and 1 Peter is toward the very back of the Bible if you're not familiar. If you go all the way to the back and just kind of work your way forward, you'll find it. It's a letter that is relatively short. Last week we began talking about this transition that Peter has made. He's spent the first portion of this letter building a context, building a foundation, helping us to understand our identity in Christ, helping us to understand who we are, what Christ has done. And then he's transitioned now into how we live this out. One of the points that he's been making very profoundly and very strongly is that we are the people of God. That as believers, that we are this holy nation, we are this chosen race, we are a royal priesthood, we're a people for God's own possession, and that we're that people, we've been called out as that people with this very specific purpose of displaying and declaring His excellencies, of proclaiming His excellencies to the world. And we do that in what we say, but we also do that in what we do. So that's why we talk about declaring the gospel, but also displaying the gospel. And I think what Peter would have us understand is that I can say the biblical truth and I can be dead on with that biblical truth. But when my life as a believer is out of step with that, there is a distortion that takes place in the gospel. That there's confusion in the world because they look at what we're saying about the power of Christ to transform life. They look at what we say about Christ's ability to come in and help us to overcome sin and to live in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And yet when our lives don't look like that, it's confusing. And so Peter is trying to help us understand, and what he's doing in this next section is he's just simply going to take several examples of how this plays itself out in our lives, and he's going to help us see, here's an example of how this works out. Here's an example of how we live in such a way that the world will see our good works and give glory to God. And he does that in the contexts in which are most relevant right now to the readers of his letter. So he's writing to a people who are under persecution. They've been scattered across the country. They're in this far regions and they are away from family. And they're having to deal with, in particular, a government that was abusive to them and a government that particularly moved to expel them. And then they also live in a culture in which slavery is a reality. And many of these may have even become slaves as a result of this transition, or this result of this exile. And if they hadn't been, maybe they know slaves, or maybe they'd been slaves. And then he goes on with these other examples. And so we will draw from this implications for us in our context. And I think today's message in particular will hit home. I know it did for me. So we're talking about glad submission. And that's kind of the heading of this whole section, is submission to Christ ultimately. But it's a submission that is rooted in the gospel. And therefore, when it's rendered, when we submit, it's a glad submission. It's not a submission that goes, oh, I have to submit, but rather, oh, I get to submit. Now, I know we don't like the word submission, right? We don't like to use that word. We don't like to think about that word. Many don't use that word at all. But actually, this is such a key word for us. It's such a key idea for us as we think about our relationship ultimately to Christ. And so that's what we're going to be wrestling with. Our passage we're looking at is 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17, where Peter writes this. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much because you have given us your word. It is true. It is right. And Lord, I pray that you would put your hand on me as I seek to expound it this morning in ways that are relevant to us. Lord, we depend on you for this. We depend on you in my life. And Lord, we depend on you in each of our lives to hear from you. Lord, may you do that. May you be gracious to us this morning in that. And may we learn how to display the truths of the gospel to the community in which we live in these ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so anarchy. There's a resurgence of anarchy in our world. There are many new or renewed anarchy organizations, which, by the way, has always been a mystery to me, because if you really understand anarchy, I don't understand how you have an organization of anarchists. Who leads? So anarchy is on a rise, and I think one of the ways we see it most evident in our culture, if you're following the news at all, is through Antifa, the anti-fascist groups that are demonstrating around. Antifa, much of the, and again, because they're anarchists, they're loosely associated with one another. They don't have a hierarchy, but they are kind of together in some ideas, and much of what's taking place in Antifa is an anarchist movement. And so what is it that anarchists believe, or what is anarchy? Anarchists believe that organizations, institutions, and governments should be voluntary. There should be no coercion or compulsion. There should be no authority that would in any way dictate anything to you. These organizations and these governments should be strictly voluntary. People associate and participate voluntarily. In other words, there is no governing authority. And so this is obviously something that's been around for a long time. It's on a resurgence today. But can I just say to you that I am a recovering anarchist? Most of you know that I worked for a political organization years ago. And in working for that organization, had the opportunity to experience, or at least to connect with people who had directly experienced some of the abuses of government. And listen, we all acknowledge that government can often be abusive, right? Peter's readers clearly understood that governments could be abusive. They were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, etc., primarily because of a government action. And so we understand that, and I was in that environment where I was interacting with people and experiencing that, and increasingly became more and more anti-authoritarian, or more and more this idea that, you know, if you know anything about American history and you know about our founding, you can go back to those actually who preceded our founders in philosophical thought that talk about the idea of the consent of the governed, right? And that's where our founding really begins, that there has to be this consent of the governed. Now, we're not here to debate political philosophy this morning, but I think if we really think about that, we start to see how that's kind of like a great-great-grandchild or parent, whichever way you go, of anarchy. Where ultimately what I'm saying is, it's voluntary. I volunteer. If I consent to this, then that's great. But listen, if I don't consent, then you see. And I was very much in that way of thinking. But can I just be honest and say that I still am, in many ways, an anarchist. And I think we all are. I think we're all anarchists in one way or another. And what I mean by that is that we all have a thought from time to time where I say, you know, I don't have to do that because I don't want to. Or, you know, I don't have to do that because I don't agree with you. I don't have to because I don't. That is the heart of anarchy. Voluntary. Everything should be voluntary. If I choose, if I agree, then I can. And as long as we get along and as long as we agree, then I can submit. And boy, when it comes to the government, when it comes to how we respond to the government, we Americans are very much in this camp where we say, listen, if the government doesn't do what I think is right, then I almost feel entitled to maybe not overt rebellion, but certainly passive rebellion against what they want from me. So we need to address these things because Peter addresses them for us. So here's the overarching thought this morning. Here's the big idea. Believers should gladly submit themselves to all human authorities, knowing that this pleases the Lord and it removes obstacles to evangelism. Believers, that is you and I, we ought to gladly submit to all human authorities, knowing that this pleases the Lord and removes obstacles to evangelism. So, glad submission. To whom are we commanded to submit? Well, Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Submit yourselves to every human institution. Now, Peter uses a very interesting word there for institution. It's actually the word creation or creature. Submit yourself to every human creation or every human creature. And there's been a lot of debate about why did Peter use that term? Because he certainly could have used other terms for authority or for governing authority. Why use that term? I think it's because in this statement, submit yourself to every human institution, that's actually the heading of everything that comes below. When he talks about slavery, when he talks about marriage, both for the husbands and the wives, he's talking back here to submitting ourselves to human creation or human institution. So he's actually talking broadly here, and then he goes on to more specifically say whether to kings or to governors. We submit ourselves to every human institution, every creation of man whereby authority is derived or exercised. So we have many different creations, many different organizations and institutions that have structure and have authority wrapped up in them. We have schools, right? The school has a structure to it. There's an organization and there's an authority there. That's a human creation or human institution. And on we could go. We even have the church as an organism that God has created with authority and structures. And that falls within this category of submit yourselves to every human institution created by God. All of these, as we'll see from Romans chapter 13, are given to us by God. So to whom do we submit? Well, we submit to emperors, kings, presidents, and even dictators. We submit to emperors, we submit to kings, we submit to presidents, we submit even to emperor or to dictators. Submit yourselves to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, whether to the king as the one in authority, or the one who rules. So Peter, what does he have in mind? The context makes it clear that Peter has in mind secular, unbelieving rulers. That's what he has in mind here. And we go back in the context. In verse 12, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Among the Gentiles. He's thinking about human institutions, not of the church primarily, but of secular society, many of whom will be unbelievers. Now, Peter likely used the term king to mean Caesar or emperor. That Caesar would be referred to emperor, Caesar Augustus. Okay? And how do I know that? Well, John 19:15 says, the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And of course, Peter would have been very much in this way of thinking amongst the Jews. And so he would have been thinking king and Caesar, as would most of the Romans at that time. So when they're thinking king, they're thinking Caesar. I said in this that we submit ourselves even to dictators. Why did I say that? Because Nero was likely emperor when Peter wrote. When Peter wrote this letter and said, submit to the king, Nero was the king. And if you know anything about the history of Nero, you know that it wasn't just the Christians that thought Nero was bad. Everybody thought Nero was bad. Everybody, in fact, many secular writers of his time wrote horrible things about this man. He was a brutal dictator. He was corrupt, self-centered, and it wasn't just the burning of Rome that he blamed on the Christians. There were many things that he did in his reign. And yet he was likely the emperor when Peter said, submit to him. I think that really makes us take a step back as Americans, especially in thinking about our heritage and what we, how we think about government and the consent of the governed. Wait a minute. No. No, we don't submit to dictators. Really? Yeah, maybe Americans don't submit to dictators, but Christians do. And we are Christians and citizens of the kingdom of heaven long before we were ever citizens of the United States. And my citizenship in the United States is merely temporary, but my citizenship in the kingdom of God is eternal. And Jesus is my king, and I submit to him. And he says to me, Kelly, submit, even if it's a dictator. So to whom do we submit? To emperors, kings, presidents, even dictators. We submit to all officials charged with enforcing proper laws. We submit to all officials charged with enforcing proper laws. He says, submit yourselves to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him. And sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. We'll talk a little bit more about that praise of doing what's right. But basically what he's saying is, listen, the government has been given the responsibility by God, actually in Romans 13, as a benefit to us to bless us and to reward those who do good. That is to do what they say. And that is to punish those who do not do good. That is who don't do what they say. The evildoer and the one who's doing right here doesn't have to do so much with what is actually evil from a biblical perspective, but what is evil from the perspective of the government. From their perspective. Because that's who they punish and that's who they reward. And by the way, this was a time in which there would be great rewards given to those who had done commendable things in relationship to their government. Submit yourself to governors as sent by him. There are many of those in our government. If you look at our system, we have many who are appointed at various levels of our government to enact or to carry out law. And all of those are included in what Peter is saying that we need to submit to. We are to submit to all governing authorities, governing officials, regardless of whether we agree, so long as they do not require disobedience to God. Because Jesus is the king, God is the king, he's our ultimate authority, right? And so we don't submit when they say disobey the king, but when it comes to all of these other officials, we submit regardless of whether or not we agree, so long as they don't require disobedience to God. Let's look just real quickly at that last statement, Acts 4, 19 and 20. We have Peter and John answering those who had called them in for preaching the gospel. And saying to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we're not going to stop speaking what we've seen and heard. Peter and John had been brought in to this governing authority and had been told, stop preaching about this Jesus. And Peter and John recognized their authority, but said, there's a higher authority. And that law that you've just issued, that demand, that decree, that's not proper. And it's not proper because it violates the commands of God's word to me. So listen, we do not submit to the government when the government tells us to do those things which are contrary to God's word, contrary to his will to us. And there may be times coming in our world where we are going to have to take strong stands of civil disobedience when our government will come in and say, you will marry this couple, or you will engage in that activity, or you will teach this thought or this belief. We will say no. We will practice civil disobedience. Why? Because Christ is our king and our ultimate authority, and we will never disobey him. But for all other things that fall outside of that, we submit. We submit. And again, I know, man, that's like, ugh. By the way, Steve and Kay Morley were watching over me this morning. They followed me in here as I was driving just to make sure that I was submitting to all of the laws on the way here in terms of traffic, whatnot. And you'll have to get with them to see whether I actually did a good job or not. Here are some examples. The police. The police are an authority that we're called to submit to. So when they pull you over, you pull over. When they interact with you, you comply with what they desire from you. Game wardens are governing authorities. Those of us that hunt, we have an authority there that we ought to comply with and submit to. The IRS. I had a colleague of mine, a family member, she had a family member who was really opposed to the IRS, didn't believe the IRS was a valid organization, and claimed to be a Christian, but was in prison because he had denied his obligation to pay his taxes. Listen, if you want to go to prison for denying to do, go to prison because you refuse to stop preaching Christ. Don't go to prison because you refuse to pay your taxes. Code enforcement. That's a shout out to those of us in our midst. I won't mention any names who actually work for the city and enforce code. But this is actually an area where I've struggled in the past because I've done some things in home improvement and whatnot where I've tried to skirt the law and move around those codes that are there. Because after all, I mean, many of those codes are ridiculous, right? They get in the way, they're inconvenient, and they cost you a whole lot more money. And so, come on, really? I told you, I'm a recovering anarchist, and I don't know how well I've recovered. Boards of education. Boards of education have something to say to us. I'm going to have more to say about this later, so we'll come back to that. Glad submission. Okay, so we talked about to whom we submit, but what does it mean to submit? What does that mean when the Bible tells us submit to these people? Well, first, it means compliance with their codes, right? It means to come alongside and do what they've actually said, to comply with the code. Submit yourselves to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Submit yourself to those who are code enforcers or code generators or law generators. Submit to them. They are sent by him for praise of those who do right. Okay? This doing right is bound up in what it means to submit. Submit to them by doing right. And who is the right being done to? Those who were sent to carry out the desires and the decrees of the ruler, right? The governor, the nation, the code enforcement game warden, all of those that we've talked about and many, many others. They're doing right is following what they've said to do. So, We'll go on. Submit yourselves, for such is the will of God, by doing right. So we're going to talk more about this being the will of God. But you see, even that, the Lord says, this is my will that you do right. And by doing right, what he means is coming into compliance with what the government has said to do. Doing right is doing what the governing authorities have decreed. So when the governing authority decrees that you need a permit for a fence over 5 feet tall in your backyard, you get a permit. When the government says that you pay taxes for gift income above a certain amount, you pay taxes on that income. When the government says that you comply with any rule, we comply to the best of our ability. Right? Romans 13:7, in a context in which Paul says, submit to all governing authorities, it goes on to say, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I thought it would be helpful for us just to continue that on just a little bit. Permit fees to whom permit fees are due, forms to whom forms are due, licenses when licenses are required. So if I need a fishing license to fish on that lake, as much as that's an inconvenience to me, and as much as I think to myself, I won't have time to go get a fishing license, you know, it's not that big of a deal. The scriptures have something to say to me about this. The scriptures have something to say to me about how I engage in this world when it comes to the governing authorities. And I tell you, even as I preach this, I realize just internally how much of an anarchist I am, because I don't like much of what I'm saying to you. And I have to tell you that I wrestle with this. I'm sure you do too. But I didn't write it. But we want to gladly submit to it and come to a place where this isn't just external compliance. Genuine submission is actually going to lead you to reasonably investigate what's required of you. Genuine submission is going to lead you to reasonably investigate what's required. If you're going to do something where you suspect that there's a rule or a law, it's going to lead you to say, I think there might be a rule or law. What does the government want from me here? Now, how do I know that? How do I make that claim? Well, let's look at Colossians 1, 9 through 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And you're probably wondering, Kelly, what in the world does that passage have to do with me submitting to government authorities and investigating what they might want of me? Well, isn't God our ultimate authority? Isn't it to Him whom we would all agree we submit to? I submit to Christ. I submit to God. And how do I know what He wants from me? That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. In other words, I need to know what His will is for me, right? I need, as a believer, if I want to please my Lord, because He goes on to please Him, if I want to please my Lord, then I need to know what He wants from me, right? What is it, Lord, that will please You? What is it, Lord, that will honor You? And I'm going to search Your scriptures to know what it is that you want from me. I'm going to investigate what it means to serve You, to obey You, to submit You to You. I think we can draw from that the conclusion that if I know or suspect that the government desires something of me, and listen, this is hard to say, but we ought to want to please them. That's not very American. We ought to want to please the governing authority. Do what they want. And that means that I probably ought to investigate to see what would you expect of me and reasonably comply to that. All right, what does it mean to submit? It means compliance with the codes. It also means consideration of the intent. It means consideration of the intent of the code, the intent of the law. Submit yourselves. I know many of you received the meditations that I had sent out throughout the week, a couple of weeks ago. And one of those was on Christ's submission to the Father. And one of the points that I hope to make in that is that when Christ submitted, He submitted perfectly. And in that perfect submission meant that He didn't need to be told what to do, but that He anticipated what His parents would want Him to do or what the Father wanted Him to do. And how did He know? Well, he sought it out. He fulfilled Psalm 1, meditating day and night upon the law because He delighted in the law. And why did He delight in the law? Because that law informed Him on what would be pleasing to the Father. And so he wanted to say, Lord, I want to please You. I want to please my parents. I want to submit. And so I'm not just going to go along with what is actually just written here, but I actually want to know what You intend by that. When He sought the scriptures, He didn't just search the scriptures to know what it said on the surface. He sought to understand what the intent of His Father was. And that's what it means to submit. Genuine submission is caring about what was intended, not just about what was written. Genuine submission means that I care about what the government intended when they wrote that law. I care what Board of Education intended when they wrote that law. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes here. To homeschooling families, I know we have many. I want to begin this by saying Tammy and I homeschooled. I love homeschooling. Go homeschoolers. It's not the only way to do it. Okay, so please do not hear me saying that if you have your kids in public school, that's horrible. That go for it. Right? But I think homeschooling is a great option. I love homeschooling. And there's so many values and benefits to it. You can talk to me about that later. So please hear me on this. I love you. But can we be honest with one another on this particular issue? Because what Peter is talking about are issues that create tension with us in the unbelieving world. And he's talking about those areas, and we're going to talk more about this, where the world slanders us. And this is an area where they slander us. This is an area where they go after us. And they say, you crazy Christians that homeschool your kids. And they have these images in their mind of what that looks like and what that is. We need to think about this. Okay, so to you homeschooling families, the state law requires, number one, a sequential program of instruction designed to lead to basic skills in the language arts, mathematics, science, social studies, and health. Which means that you need, in your homeschooling, to comply with this, and not just the words, but the intent of what they're wanting you to do. And it says, elementary students must have 1,032 hours of instruction, while high school students must have 1,080 hours of instruction. Genuine submission means considering what was intended by what was written there. I'm not going to suggest anything to you beyond this. If you were to sit down with those who wrote that law, if you were to sit down with the Board of Education who oversees these laws and walk through what you do with your children, would they say, keep going, you've got it, that's what we meant? Or would they maybe push you in a different direction? We don't get to decide here. Listen, I understand why we do this. I understand that there are many areas where we disagree with what our government wants to do. And listen, if your governing authority, if our Board of Education comes along and tells you that you need to teach a curriculum that teaches gender equality in terms of homosexuality and all of those issues, you disobey that. You teach something different. But when they say that you have to have 1,032 hours, you ought to consider what that means and what they intended, and then work to do it. Because that's what the scriptures are asking you and telling you to do. Okay. Submit yourselves as free men. F. Freeman. Listen, he's writing to these believers and he's wanting to communicate to them, you're free. You are free. In fact, he said you have been you've been rescued from the domain of darkness. You've been transferred from the kingdom of this world. You're not citizens of this world. You're not accountable to the government. You're not accountable to these things. You're accountable to Jesus Christ as your king. You're free. You're not enslaved to sin. You're not enslaved to unrighteousness. You're free. We are free. I am free to disobey my government when they tell me to do something that is dishonoring to my Lord. I am free. You are free. But don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. Don't take the freedoms that God has given to us as believers in Jesus Christ and allow that to say, well, yes, I'm free, but I can skirt this or that or do this or that, and because that would be dishonoring to your Lord. Honor all men. Honor the king. What does it mean to honor all men and honor the king? By the way, I think when he says honor all men, I think he's just thinking again in these categories of authority. All these people who fill these various roles. Honor them. It is not honorable to use technicalities to get out of your obligations to skirt the law. It is not honoring when you get out of a financial obligation to someone because the law happens to specifically write, is written in a particular way that lets you get out of your duty. That's not honoring to all men. It is not honoring to skirt the law because it technically says this or that. That's actually Pharisaism. That's what the Pharisees were doing when they're saying, hey, I didn't murder anybody. And Jesus comes along and says, yeah, but when you are angry, that's murder. You see, he deepens this, and so we ought to as well. submission to human authorities requires faith. And there, we're going to talk more about this when we get into this discussion of wives submitting to unbelieving husbands. But man, this takes faith in so many areas to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you in this. I'm going to submit because I trust you. And I know that when you tell me to do something and I do it, that's the best way. All right. Finally, why should we gladly submit? Why should we gladly submit? Well, first of all, because submission is pleasing to the Lord. Submission is pleasing to the Lord. He says, submit for the Lord's sake. Submit for the Lord's sake. Don't submit just because you want to please somebody else. Now, you ought to want to please them, but ultimately, you want to please your Savior and your Lord. Do it for Him. Let that be the governing thought of your heart. Human authorities are conduits through which you submit to Christ. I submit to Christ as I submit to the governing authorities in my life. Jesus has said, Kelly, there is this authority, this code enforcement official that requires you to have a permit for that fence. And so I say, oh, that's silly. Come on. Why do I need to have a permit? Well, that's just, you know what? All that is just the government wanting more money. That's just a hidden tax. That has nothing to do with that. I don't need to comply with that. But when I instead say, you know what? I'm going to submit to that because this is pleasing to the Lord. That code enforcement agency has become a conduit through which my submission goes to Christ. Jesus is honored and pleased when I submit to those authorities that He's put in my life. And I think this would be so helpful if we understand this in all of these arenas of our lives in which we have authority. Say, Lord, I am submitting through this person to you because I love you and I want to please you. Submit, for such is the will of God. We talk about, I want to know what the will of God is. What's the will of God for my life? Right? Well, there's all kinds of books you could get on this subject, how to discern God's will for your life. Well, here, guess what? You're told explicitly what God's will is. I'm told what His will is. Submit. Submit myself to governing authorities. I just feel like I need to pause again just a moment and say, listen, I said I'm a recovering anarchist. The more I go in this, I realize I'm not recovered yet. Man. There are areas of my life where I know it's, oh, I don't like that. But it's God's will. Okay. How am I going to respond? If I understand that my submission is what is pleasing to the Lord and that's what His will, then I'm going to gladly submit. I'm not just going to say, all right, you know what? I think that fence rule is silly. But okay, fine. I'll go get the permit. That's not glad submission. That's not honoring to the Lord. The honoring thing to do would be to say, you know what, I might disagree with that, but this is a governing authority that God put there for my good. And I'm gonna gladly do what they ask me to do and go into that office and get that permit with a smile on my face and not with a chip on my shoulder. God ordained human authorities for the good of mankind. Romans 13, 1 and 2, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. I've got to tell you, this verse weighs really heavy on my heart. This verse is like, ugh, because I'm reading that. I'm saying, let every be in subjection to governing authority, for there's no authority except from God. So the president who happens to be in office right now, God established that. Yes. That dictator, God established it. Yes. In fact, Isaiah chapter 46, Jesus talks about Cyrus, the Persian king, and how he was going to use him as a king and a ruler to execute his goodwill. Oh, Cyrus was a brutal dictator. But God is the one who's established these authorities. And He says, if I resist authority, I'm not resisting that person. I'm resisting God. Now, again, I want to be clear. We resist authority when they tell us to do that which is dishonoring to God. Because that's not resisting true authority. That's actually submitting to the true authority. But if you can't demonstrate, if I can't demonstrate where this is an area of clear biblical right or wrong, then I know what the will of God is for me. It's to submit. Anarchy is atheism. Anarchy is atheism. Atheism sits at the heart of anarchy. You cannot be an anarchist without being an atheist. Because if you say there is a God, he has something to say to me. He sits in a position of authority. I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Anarchy is atheism. So we submit because it's pleasing to the Lord, and we submit because submission removes obstacles to evangelism. Our purpose is to proclaim the excellencies of Christ so that people will give glory to God. Our purpose is to lead people into worship of our God and Savior. He called us and made us his people so that we would do that. That we would go out into the world and be testimonies of his goodness and grace and evangelize the world. That's our purpose. And the lack of submission or rebellion actually sets up obstacles to that. Submit yourselves that by doing right, that is by complying with the codes and by listening in on the intent of what they're doing, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And what he's talking about are those foolish people who have not yet come to faith in Christ, where their foolish hearts are darkened and they are looking at you and me and slandering us. Doesn't he say that earlier? He said that they slander you because of what you do that is good. The unbelieving community doesn't understand us and will often slander us because our convictions conflict with theirs. That is a true statement that we need to understand. There are many things that in our faith we are convicted about, and they conflict with our world, and so the world is going to slander us. And we can all think of examples today where the world says of us, that's hate speech, that's bigoted, that's whatever. And it's because our convictions, our right convictions, conflict with theirs. The unbelieving community is going to slander us. But our rebellious attitudes can reinforce their resistance to the gospel by legitimizing their slander. When I rebel against a governing authority, that individual I referred to who rebelled against the IRS, because he believed that he didn't have to pay taxes, it wasn't right. When he went to prison, he solidified a view of Christianity that is slanderous. And he reinforced resistance to the gospel, because it just reinforces the idea that, you know, Christians are just these crazy people who believe all these crazy things. We do believe some crazy things. We actually believe that a man rose from the dead. That's crazy. But there are many other things that we believe and that we act that are also crazy, that are not biblical. And listen, that becomes a barrier. And what Peter is wanting us to say, and this, man, this is hard. It is hard. He's wanting us to say, listen, your life is a testimony. And you don't belong to you. You belong to God and to your Savior. And therefore, you don't get to decide. That's anarchy. I get to decide. No, I don't. I have to remind Mr. Kelly, you don't get to decide here. I don't get to decide. What I get to decide about is whether I'm going to gladly submit, or whether I'm just going to submit in duty, or whether I'm going to rebel. I'm praying for me in this. Been praying for me that God would continue to work in my heart, that I would become one who gladly submits and understands that when I gladly submit, when I do right in my relationships, I dull the edges of their rebuke. I don't remove them. I'm not going to remove the slander of the world, but I can dull the edges. When they come and they accuse me and they say, yeah, but, and then they investigate my life and they actually find out, oh, wait a minute. No, this is a law-abiding, carefully considering citizen. You see, it takes teeth. It takes sharpness out of the rebuke. And it removes obstacles to the gospel. In fact, it actually gives opportunity for the gospel. When they look at me and they say, wait a minute, the rest of the world is rebelling against this wrong, this clear wrong. You're not. Why not? Because my hope is not grounded in this world. Because my citizenship isn't here. Because I love a Savior who's redeemed me. And I belong to Him. And I want to tell you about Him. I want to tell you about this marvelous Savior and this amazing light. I want to tell you about the joy and the hope that you can have when you submit to Him. And then when you, pleasing Him, submit to the governing authorities of your life. Can I tell you about Him? He's awesome. Titus 2, 7 and 10. In all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. I pray if I'm ever in a position where I'm on public trial somewhere where the cameras are all looking at me, that they will not be able to go back into my life and expose those areas where I have been rebellious in my heart and in my actions. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. He's talking about adorning the gospel. The doctrine of God our Savior. He's talking about the salvation that we have in Christ. He's talking about adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I adorn the gospel by submitting to my master, by not being argumentative, by not stealing from him, but showing all good faith, being there on time when he told me to be there on time and fulfilling the duties that he's asked me to do and fulfilling my responsibilities in submission from a glad soul that says, Lord, I love you and I want to please you by pleasing this person. We adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect when we do that. So is your attitude toward the human authorities in your life adorning the gospel of God? Is the attitude that you have toward whatever governing authority it is in your life, is that attitude that you have, does that adorn the gospel? Does it make the gospel look beautiful? It's like putting earrings on for a lady or whatever, you know, jewelry to make her look, to adorn her. Are you putting the jewelry of submission on in your life, in those people that are authorities? Or is there a rebelliousness in your heart that is distorting the gospel? I'm with you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray that we would listen. We're going to take a few minutes and just spend a couple of minutes reflecting on this. And I would encourage you to reflect on the authorities in your life and asking yourself, what are those authorities and am I submitting? Am I adorning the gospel in this way? Let's take a few minutes and reflect.